The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3, or it might be Wednesday night from 9 to 10. They slip in that second recording so that you can hear us twice a week to talk about your career, look at the job market, look at the talent pools, look at the economy, discuss every workplace issue that's ever been discussed. I announced last week the celebration of my 8th anniversary here at LI News Radio. So April 15th of 2016 was when I started on this radio show, and I'm very proud of that. And so to celebrate, we have some fine guests. And my guest last week was fantastic. We talked about artificial intelligence. If you missed that show, I posted it on LinkedIn. But today, we're going to talk about leadership with one of my favorite guests, one of the most intelligent person with outstanding communication skills. Wait until you hear her, folks. Her name is Deb Ingino. She's a highly sought-after executive coach, trainer, and consultant. Deb is well-versed in business operations and in the importance of culture and engagement. She brings deep experience in leadership development, high-performance teamwork, maximizing strengths and effective communication to her work. Deb's skills were honed through over 3 decades, and she has worked throughout the world to create and develop leaders and teams that now serve retailers in more than 80 countries. Say that fast, it doesn't sound like a lot, but 80 countries, that's like half the world. Deb became a founding partner with her mentor, the renowned leadership expert John C. Maxwell. She is a certified Maxwell DISC behavioral analysis consultant, a certified coach, speaker, trainer, and we're going to talk about leadership. Deb, welcome back to Radio Jobline.
Hey, Scott, thanks so much. First of all, dude, congratulations. 8 years, that is just fantastic.
Yeah, and that's
8 years of you adding value to our community is just mind-blowing to me.
Well, thank you, and it comes on the heels of 24 years on News 12. So it's altogether 32 years. If you want to do the math, it's 32 years.
Beautiful.
So, I guess I'm pretty comfortable in front of a microphone after all these years. No one communicates as well as you do, Deb. And I want my listeners to listen carefully to the way you speak today. You're just amazing. So we've talked about leadership in the past, you and I. We it's a great subject. It's also the third highest rated subject. I keep numbers on the amount of LinkedIn listens we get because I post a show on LinkedIn. And the number one thing is mental health. Would you believe that? That's that gets the most listens. The second thing is artificial intelligence. And the third thing is leadership. So we just did artificial intelligence last week. It's time for leadership. Deb, give me an overview of your perspective on leadership.
Yeah. Well, Scott, first of all, it's interesting to me. I'm so glad you shared with all of us those three topics. And mental health, of course, that's universal. And especially post-COVID, right?
Right.
Like, all of us had to go through so much and in many ways reinvent ourselves even. So artificial intelligence, the buzzword, but leadership, baby, that is my heart and soul. Because I'll tell you why. You know, early on in my career, I always looked at leadership was, that meant you were the boss of someone. And what I soon came to realize was that leadership is, I'm the boss of myself. Right? It's not a corner office. It's not a fancy title or gobs and gobs of money. Leadership really is, when you boil it down, it's the ability to influence people and outcomes. And can I just share with you a quick example?
Please.
Mother Teresa, great example. You know, her only title was mother. She didn't have a fancy corner office on,
right,
you know, Park Avenue. She wasn't, I don't think she was driving around in a Testarossa, you know, over in Calcutta. But yet she could get a world leader on the phone. And her ability to influence people, those are the people she served, and outcomes was so, so huge. So leadership, for me, that really is that ability to lead ourselves well.
Yeah, it's something I have to say I'm very proud of too, because I've always been told, and you know, that I'm a leader and all that stuff, and all my employers always, you know, gave me the role of leadership, and I do influence outcomes, and I am a very persuasive person, so I certainly influence people, but not everybody has the knack, Deb. I don't know if you could be born with it, but certainly in my case, my jobs that I had throughout my career, you know, sort of enabled me to become a good leader. But not everybody has this. That's why you're on the radio show. I want you to help me teach people how to be better leaders, and also the difference between leadership and management. You kind of said it earlier, but they're not even close. They're not even close.
No. They're opposite ends of the spectrum. So first of all, when we talk about leadership, there are some people, Scott, you are so spot on. You're one of them that are born with innate leadership skills that, you know, you have a little bit of an advantage over other people because there are certain aspects of leadership like communicating effectively, having self-discipline, being consistent, looking to serve other people that you're just naturally gifted at. I mean, I know you work hard at your craft, but I think a lot of it really is, you know, you've been blessed with those strengths. What's very interesting is when you think about the difference between management and leadership, here's how I describe it. Management does things right. They focus on doing the, you know, those things really correctly. Leadership is focused on doing the right things. The one is, I'm going to check off the box. I'm going to make sure we answer this amount of calls in our business. We serve this many customers. We get this many packages shipped. We make these many placements. But leadership is more strategic. It's management elevated. So they're both important. But leadership says, hey, I want to do things right. But most importantly, I want to make sure I'm doing the right things. What's going to serve the vision for my life, the vision maybe for my job, my business, right? So a very different perspective, but the management is the very first level, if you will.
Right. Now, management is almost nothing, if you ask me, because leadership is really the key. And if you look at, and I'm just going to make a weird comparison. If you look at movies, let's just look at movies for a moment, okay?
Love that.
The main character of almost every movie you have ever seen is a great leader. What do you think?
One way, shape, or form? Absolutely. But then it's the hero's journey, right? It's like they were a great leader, and then they lost it all, and they came back. They climbed right back up to the top.
Or they discovered that they were great leaders. You know, so that's one thing I've always noticed is resourceful and leadership oriented people are somehow the stars of every movie. Look at the Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't have any schooling. He had no education. Yep. He tricked his way onto the Titanic. But the bottom line was you could see the way he was in the movie that he was a born leader.
Yeah. There's a great movie out there. If anybody has not seen it, I still recommend it. It's called Unbroken. It was a film back in 2014, and it was done about the life of Louis Zamperini, who was his family, you know, emigrated from Italy, came to the U.S., and Louis was full of energy, and his parents kept him, like, busy with running and stuff in school. He became a track star. Then he joined the military. Then he was in the Olympics. It's like, oh my goodness, because he was in a near fatal car, you know, plane crash, not even a car crash, a plane crash. And when I was watching the movie, I kept thinking, you know, isn't that a good sign of leadership? We are resilient.
Right.
We will take the circumstances that life is throwing us and find a way to kind of make some lemonade out of the lemons, or at the very least, grow through it.
Right. And one of my things, my pet traits that I admire in other people is resourcefulness. And I feel that if you're a great leader and you're a resourceful person, you really have a tremendous 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What it allows, because life is going to throw us curves all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what it allows us to do is to have that flexibility to be able to still stick with what we want to accomplish, but be very flexible in how we're going to get there. It's like, you know, you and I live on Long Island, right? So one of the things that I love about Long Island, especially having grown up in the Bronx, is that you go out to any of the harbor areas, And those captains, then, they are looking at the weather, they're looking at the wind, they're looking at everything that's happening out in the ocean as they're getting ready to sail off. But they realize that while they want to have this great day of deep sea fishing, that while they're out there, if the conditions change, they have to remain flexible in order to still accomplish the mission. And I think that's a very strong aspect of great leadership.
Mm. Yeah, I was just thinking of George Clooney in the movie Where Everybody Died, but anyway, I can't think of the name of the movie.
Sure. Yes, not a good example.
but he was a great, I thought he was a great leader up until that last decision, but...
Up until his bad decision, exactly.
Right. But you talk about the advantage of opportunity being born out of adversity. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting that for many of us, we could set up and decide, like, we could go, maybe you went to the best school, and you got the best degree, and you got the best grades, and you got the best job at the best salary. At some point, adversity is going to hit you. It could be in your personal life. God forbid, it should be in your health. It could be financially. It could be in your career. It could be in your business. When adversity kicks in, and it's funny, when I was a very young leader, kind of growing up in business, I kept looking at adversity was, I looked at it that there were two types of people. There were very lucky people, like they didn't have any adversity. They just seemed everything clicked for them all the time. And then there were people like me that it didn't really click with all the time. And I was, you know, hitting an obstacle here and there. And some of them were feeling like boulders. And there was a book I read years and years ago. It was talking about mistakes or adverse conditions that actually created opportunity. I'll give you a couple of quick examples. So one of them, do you ever like have pancakes or waffles or something in the morning and you kind of use maple syrup, maybe French toast?
I have certainly used maple syrup, that's for sure.
Well, I have a grandson who is going to be 6 and he always wants to know how did this start? Like, where did this come from? And I found out that the story goes that there was an Iroquois chief, an Indian chief, mm-hmm. and he left the camp one day in early March to do his day of hunting. And as he left, he pulled his tomahawk out from the maple tree where he had hurled it the night before.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine him comes back. He's like, ah, I didn't catch anything. You know, and he throws his tomahawk, it sticks in the tree. Well, when he pulled out the next morning, sap started dripping from the tree into a vessel that was standing pretty close to the tree trunk.
Mm-hmm.
When evening came, he saw it. He called it tree water. We now call it sap. And he decided to bring it home, and his wife used it in the cooking instead of her having to go down to the river to get water that night. And he was like, wow, like, let me tell you, this dinner's pretty good. It's tasting really delicious.
Mm.
And found out that, you know, kind of by boiling down that sap, you know, it really gave a very pleasant taste. So isn't it interesting? It wasn't like he went out to create something as simple as syrup, but maybe by having a bad day before and just tossing his tomahawk into the tree, you know, here comes that sap. Post-it notes is another great example, Scott. We all use post-it notes, right, in our lives.
Right.
And you know, post-it notes is a great example where there was a guy named Spencer Silver who was working for 3M. And he's trying to find like a really strong adhesive. And he was experimenting, and he kept finding that he couldn't get the formula just right, that he would make this adhesive, it would stick to the paper, but then that paper, it would stick to something, but it could easily peel back off.
Mm.
So a failure for what he thought he was trying to accomplish. But yet, look at that. How many of us, probably billions at this point, of post-it notes being used around the world at any one point. And 3M, his company, said, well, okay, you didn't get us the best adhesive, but boy, I think you're kind of onto something here. So even accidentally, we could make mistakes that if we really look and we look for the seed of opportunity that could be buried in that mistake, that failure, that experiment that's gone wrong, that is when we're able to lead ourselves from adversity really right into an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Think back just a few years ago, you mentioned COVID before, to when they were coming up with the COVID vaccine. And they never would have tried any of these new methods or the new methodologies for vaccine creation or gotten to the vaccine if the scientists back then, you know, didn't have this adverse condition, you know, with people, a million Americans dying and people dying all over the country. I mean, think about the adversity of that with the pall that was cast over the whole world. You know, so yeah. Those scientists, you know, created something amazing and they did it fast. And I give them a lot of credit because it wouldn't have happened without the adversity.
Absolutely. And isn't it interesting? That was a universal experience, literally, like exactly as you said, Scott, just brilliantly. The whole world experienced this at the same time. So it wasn't like, well, you know, if we fail, you know, these people will still be okay. These people won't be. You know, people that live on the West Coast will be okay. The people on the East Coast, sorry. You're gone, right?
Right.
It was global. It was, and our patience in allowing science to experiment, try this, try another thing, and maybe bend some of the rules to be able to get it out there and deploy it globally as quickly as we did, if you think about it, in the middle of a pandemic, was remarkable.
Yeah, those were some times. It seems like a long time ago, but I mean, I'll never forget the dramatic, you know, every day watching the news and watching the constant reports of people that have just died. And it was bad. It was like a war. It was like watching a war on TV. It was awful.
It was. And thank God we're past those times. Let's hope we stay past those times.
Yes, yes. So, all right. So great examples about how adversity gives birth to the leadership. But you also make the point that we start out climbing the ladder of leadership the same way. Everybody starts out the same way, but then other people differentiate themselves.
Yeah. And it's funny. That's where, you know, when I kept thinking as a very immature, you know, kind of new in the career gal many, many decades ago, I kept thinking, you know, there are people that are very lucky and then there's me.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I would really start to reflect on the people that were doing well, whether a couple of lucky people, yeah, of course there were, but not as many as you would think. That was clearly not where most people moved up. Most people moved up because I noticed that there were 3 to 4 commonalities amongst all of these people. And once I started to see it, because I was seeing it in people in the job, I was seeing it in people in my community, people in my family, people in certain other professions and businesses. I would see it in some areas of politics, which was back in the 70s and 80s, not today, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did notice that there were 4 distinct ways that these people seem to do things a little differently than I was doing at that moment.
Mm. And we're going to talk a lot more about what they were doing. Now, before we do that, Deb, for people that are looking for help with leadership or perhaps companies looking for some training on how to create better leaders and make their own staff better leaders, you do that type of thing, right?
We do, yeah. We do it regularly and around the globe.
All right. So how can people get information about your firm?
So they can always go to strengthleader.com. So the word strength and then the word leader right after it, .com. And we've got a ton of information on there. We've got a YouTube channel with many teachings and lessons on there where someone literally, Scott, can go in, plug in, and start to grow themselves. We do assessments and coaching and consulting. So we're just there to help people to unearth the potential that's already buried in them.
So do you find that, I have to ask just this one funny, almost funny question. Do you ever have people come to you, Deb, that want to be better leaders and you look at them and you go, no, this person is not a leader, you know, or can you make anyone a good leader?
Oh, well, first of all, I can't make anyone anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can only make myself something. But what I find is that a lot of times if we judge someone based on their history, based on their past, What we're doing is we're looking back and we're saying, well, the past will predict the future. But in reality, when it comes to leadership, even personal growth, that what predicts the future is our discipline and consistency to grow in the right areas. So anybody can get there. It's whether or not they're really committed. If it's something that is of value to them and they really want to get there, everyone can get there if, the big word is if, if they are willing to commit and do the things that are going to serve them in that area of growth.
All right. It's good to know that these skills can be gotten by anyone. Very encouraging for those of you that aren't sure or grew up like Deb thinking that there was everybody else and then it was her. So you're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We're talking to Deb Ingino, a highly sought after executive coach, trainer, and consultant about leadership. She's amazing. We have another segment coming up. If you'd like to be on Radio Jobline, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. scottp118@gmail.com. Happy to have you or your idea on the radio show. And folks, connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Possessor, P-A-S-S-E-S-E-R. The reason I post every Radio Jobline on my LinkedIn account right there on my page. So you can, if you ever miss a show, you can always get it. You collect them and so on. They're all on SoundCloud, by the way, as well. So again, we're talking about leadership today with Deb Ingino. We have a news break coming up. Stay with us, everybody.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We are talking today to Deb Ingino, a fabulous communicator herself, and she is also wonderful in the area of leadership. And I'm going to let her talk to us a little bit today about her mentor, John C. Maxwell, who I don't know that much about, so I'd like to know a little bit more about him. But the concept and topic today is leadership and how to leverage your strengths and how to become a better leader than you are now. And I believe that Deb can deliver on that subject any day of the week. Deb, tell us a little bit about John C. Maxwell.
Well, John, it's funny. I first heard John speak at a live event back in, it was the mid-90s. He was in 94, 95, somewhere around there. And I was like, wow, I love the way this guy's explaining things. He's making it very simple that even I could understand it. And I started to buy his books. And back then, I'm old enough, was cassette tapes, the VHS tapes. At least it wasn't reel-to-reel. I'm not that old. But I started to use all of his material in my corporate world. And I think that was one of the ways, Scott, that I was able to accelerate my growth as a leader. And here's what's interesting. I have just literally at my desk right now, I just pulled up what's on my desk in the middle of reading a galley copy of Don's book that's coming out May 7th called High Road Leadership. Listen to this. Bringing people together in a world that divides.
Mm.
Now, if there is ever a time such as this that, you know, high road leadership is needed, there's so much content out there about leadership. And John is certainly world-renowned for his ability to take those concepts and make them achievable by simply having us focus and staying consistent in our discipline in that growth pattern. Mm. I will tell you, the man has changed my thinking and certainly my life and business in many ways.
Let's plug the book one more time. What's the name of the book and when is it coming out?
It's coming out May 7th. It's called High Road Leadership, and it's called Bringing People Together in a World That Divides.
Right. And we talk about division with politics nowadays. The best thing you could do is turn your head, Deb. Don't even look at it. That's the best thing, the only thing you can do. Okay, so let's talk about leveraging our strengths. I mean, obviously, that's a great thing if you can do it, you know, and if you have, what if you don't have a lot of strengths to leverage?
Well, you know what's funny? I think one of the things that many of us forget is that the things that come very easily to us, right? For example, I cannot cook to save my life. I can eat like nobody's business, but I'm a horrible cook. Just ask my husband of 45 years. Mm. And Uber, when Uber Eats came out, it was like, yaha, oh, this is great. We shall survive, right? So what's interesting is we tend to notice the things that we do not do well. Mm. Those are things that seem to capture our attention. But then there are those things, Scott, that we do very well. Like, for example, when I first saw you, it was on News 12 here on Long Island, and you were hosting a Jobline show on there. You bring on employers, you bring on employees, you bring on community specialists, right? And you have a great skill and strength in being able to connect the dots for your viewers then and your listeners now. I see that as a natural strength of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not have realized early on because it did come so easily for you. And that's very typical for many of us. So one of the things that we do and we highly recommend is that you get an objective assessment of your strengths. In fact, on our strengthleader.com website, when you go to services, you're going to see a whole category in assessments. And in each of those assessments that are listed, we have a page just on your strengths. It literally maps for an individual what the strengths are, because once we recognize them, now we can totally leverage them. Like, I did not realize some of the strengths that I had, because when people would thank me for it and say it was exceptional, I said, oh, it was nothing. Oh, my pleasure. What a big deal. And it was because it was a strength. Like, I didn't have to work that hard to do it. It came naturally.
Mm.
But boy, like I said, you put me in the kitchen. It's a mess in the fire department that I have to donate to every year because of my automatic smoke detector connecting to them is proof positive.
Wow, sounds bad. Okay, so let's go on to strengths then. So let's say you know what your strengths are, Deb, and you're lucky if you do. Then what?
Yeah. So now it's a matter of leveraging them, and this is where a great coach can sit down and do a debrief with you like we do to help you to really understand what the strengths are, what the context of the strengths. And instead of looking at the areas that are not strengths, how do we maximize your sort of secret sauce, your magic powers, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the things that people really need an outside, a third party to help them dive through. The other thing that's very important is, think about it this way, if you happen to be a business owner and you're listening to this, normally, you might be more inclined to hire somebody on board who's just like you because it makes us feel good. They communicate the same way. They have similar personality traits. They're easy to get along with. But if we hire people just like us, we actually miss the full complement of strengths in our business, and that will create a gap in performance of a team.
So a good leader would then look, if he's in a hiring mode, would be looking for candidates that have the skills he does not have.
That's right. Exactly. Especially when you look at the role that candidate is being placed for.
Mm-hmm.
If that, for example, if that candidate is a rock star in analytics, a rock star in processing, amazing at, relatability and persistence, but the hiring person is somebody who's great at speaking and presenting and directing, they may not see the validation required for hiring this other person on board because it may not make them feel good, but boy, that employee with the right strengths can certainly do good, and that's what matters most.
Right. Yeah, hiring is, it's so difficult because people are so concerned, Deb, about getting the right skills, the right ability and experience. Sometimes they forget about the person. What kind of a person am I dealing with here? Is this an honest person? Is this an adulterous person? Is this someone who drinks a lot? Is it someone who has got some sort of mental health problem? You really can't tell when you first meet people. So, I'm sure it helps to know when a person has a flaw, but the hiring process is littered with bad hires, of people that just didn't assess correctly what they need, what sort of traits and values and skills they needed on top of the experience that they know they needed.
Yeah, they sometimes will hire for people that make us feel good instead of hiring for people that can do good in business. We always say that, you know, you're hiring a human being, not just a human doing. It's the values, it's the character, it's their ability to stay focused, it's their ability to communicate well. Like, all these things are so critical to really making a right choice.
All right, so you go into a company and you just got a new job, and you'd like to demonstrate your leadership ability, but you don't want to walk in there and start ordering people around and doing things and changing things, and you know, because that's not cool. But how do people, you know, move up the ladder in the corporation when they have these good leadership skills without seemingly, you know, stepping on other people's toes?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. I wish more people would ask that question today. So the first step is we really need to lead ourselves well. So whatever I'll use a great example. Whether you work remotely or you work in an office, okay? If you're supposed to be there at 9, I know this is going to sound lame, and you know, Gen Zers are going to roll your eyes. Just for a second, just be with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But don't show up at 9. Show up at 9:15 and connect with people, even if it's just on, you know, a Teams chat. Hey, you guys had a great weekend. It's eager for the day, right? Like something. Stay connected with people. We need to lead ourselves well. We need to show up before we're supposed to show up, which kind of goes into the second one, exceeding expectations in whatever role we're in. So a lot of times, for most people, they will look to meet the expectation of a job. So, okay, if they need me to do this much, that's how much I'm going to do. And as soon as I'm done, I'm gone. I'm out. Right. Where what leaders tend to do, we tend to be more overproducers. We're going to try to exceed expectations. We would tend to want people to go, whoa, where did that come from? Like, that's amazing. Mm. Didn't see that coming, right? Like, that helps us to stand out. Like, we stand out by doing something negative. Why not stand out by doing something positive?
Right.
Showing up early, exceeding expectations, using our strengths well.
And
Scott, go ahead.
No, I was just going to jump in. Would it be the same thing for being, you know, not being the first one to leave at night? You know, especially like your first week. We had a hire recently where we hired somebody. This is just a couple of months ago. And 5:00 came, out the door.
Gone. 5:00, that's staying late for some people. Even though their hours are 9 to 5, at 4:55, they're already out in the parking lot, right? Mm. It's like a ghost land. So you served many decades ago, Scott. I don't know if you remember this, but Marshawn Eyewear.
Mm-hmm.
Al Berg was our CEO. He rest in peace. Mm-hmm. One of my great mentors in my life. And what's interesting is Al was a night owl. So I became very accustomed, as soon as I started working there, to staying later because it was the only time you could have a meeting with him. Because during the day, he was working with sales, he's working with distribution, he's working with marketing. And if you wanted to have a conversation about a strategy you wanted to implement or change you wanted to implement, you had to stay at night. So it's funny, at night, like I would have a meeting with him. It would be scheduled for like 8 or 9 o'clock at night in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to leave, I would look around to see whose cars was still there. There were very few cars there.
Right, right. And that's a good example. So, but I think people should have the credo of, look, you're the first one in, you're the last one out. And if someone doesn't think that way and thinks, well, you know, I can get away with being there at 9:10 or nobody seems to care if I'm out of here at 10 minutes to 5. If your brain is operating that way, you're already, you know, decreeing that you're not a leader.
Yeah, exactly. Because then at that point, you're saying, you know, I'm willing to commit, but on my terms, not on the terms that are really going to set me apart from everyone else in the world. And that's a big flag for anybody. Because I'll give an example. Like, I work, my COO is located in Florida. I'm located in New York, right? I don't want her working 24/7. I want her to have a life. I ask her how her weekend was. Where does she go on vacation? What is she doing for dinner tonight, right? So things like that are very important. But when she texts me at 7:30 and says, hey, I had a couple minutes. I happened to jump into email and I shot you over an email. Is there any way you could look at it first thing in the morning? I'm like, absolutely not. I'll look at it right now. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if you're committed to being on it at 7:30 at night, I'm jumping in too, right? So it's very interesting. This is what sets people apart from everybody else in the pile. You know, John Maxwell talks about, we just had a meeting in March in Orlando, our certification event. We certify coaches. And John talked about, his talk was about getting out of the pile. That is one of the best ways to get out of the pile. Committed to the mission, not the hours.
Mm. Yeah, I'm distressed a little bit lately by all the emails that I get. I'm getting so many emails trying to sell me something. Now, this has changed a lot in the last 12 months. In prior to that 12-month period, I got an acceptable amount of people trying to sell me something, but I'm noticing it more on LinkedIn, and I'm noticing it more on my regular email account. I guess people, it's so easy to get somebody's email nowadays, but it just seems like the economy has tightened up a little bit. People are, you know, desperate for business development, and I feel like every day I'm really blocking about 30 people, Deb. You know, that are trying to sell me something. So it gets increasingly difficult with your inbox to keep track of it. But you're right. I mean, I'm attached to my phone. I live with my phone. My phone and I are very close. And if I will get an email or a text or whatever late at night, I will 1 o'clock in the morning, I'll answer it. If I'm up, I'll answer it. So that's a little excessive too. You know, you got to set a good example and
boundaries
and get boundaries and a good work life balance. But what I wanted to really talk about was, how do we lead ourselves well? I mean, you've said it a couple of times, but what are the steps that we do to make that happen?
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to just touch base again on what you said about what's happening on social media. That every message you get right now, it seems to me like 99% of the messages that I get are a sales pitch.
Right.
Or, hey, you know, oh, I want to learn more about you, so why don't we connect on, you know, on a phone call? I don't think so. Okay. Yeah. Want to learn more about me? Why don't you actually read my LinkedIn profile?
Right.
And you'll learn a lot that way, right? So do your homework, folks. That's such a great lesson for people. Do your homework. Don't think that, you know, there's a lot of people selling a lot of online courses there to telling people to do this in LinkedIn. And just like you, I am blocking people left and right. Just, you know, please, if that's your first introduction to me, like you haven't read a blog post that I've made or watched a YouTube video that I've made, you have nothing to comment on other than, hey, I'm amazing and you should connect with me so I can sell you something. Wrong answer.
Yeah, but you know, the thing, even if they do it better, if they do read my profile, if they say, hey, Scott, you've had great accomplishments in your life, blah, 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 whatever BS they give me, I still don't want to buy.
Yeah.
You know, so, and if I want to buy something, Deb, I'm going to go and seek it out and network with my people and ask for somebody that knows a dog sitter, if that's what I'm looking for. And so I wouldn't even buy it that way. If you emailed me and said, I'm a dog sitter and I'd like to do some dog sitting, instantly I put you in the blocked category. So
yeah, I love it.
So it just,
well,
it's
funny. What Scott just pointed out right now, this was, you just dropped some gold. It's about connecting with people. And, you know, before we try to, you know, serve people of something that you may or not need, it's like if somebody comes to me and says, hey, you know, we do roofs. We do the most amazing roofs. Our roof pricing is great. We're very clean. We do a great job. I just had a roof put on a couple months ago. I don't need a roof.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like connect with people first to learn more about what they need. And that is the magic formula. But you asked about some of the characteristics, right, that we could utilize to really develop ourselves as a leader. So the first is to lead ourselves well. The second is to really establish the right priorities. Now, I'm a woman of faith. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a grandma. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a friend, right? So I have to establish the priorities. And I'm a business owner. Like, where does all of that fit into play? So establish those priorities, but remain flexible. Remain flexible. When my beloved sister-in-law was terminal with cancer, there was nothing else I was going to be doing but being in hospice care with her. Nothing else. Mm. Nothing else mattered. My priorities shifted immediately. So be prepared to shift your priorities. The third piece is character. Are you walking your talk? do you say, oh, yes, I want to be a great leader. I want to add value to people. Well, are you adding value first to yourself? Are you growing yourself? And then are you adding value to others?
Yeah.
Can I go through the other six with you real quick, Scott?
Sure.
The next is creating a positive change. One of the things I love about leaders is that, listen, we're all going to hit adversity. That kind of goes to Sarah's spin life, like I said earlier. But leaders really try to create a positive change no matter what's happening, which kind of goes with number five, which is problem solving. Leaders really, they become like the MacGyvers. That's an old show. Many of you won't even know what I'm talking about. Look it up on the internet. But this guy, like out of duct tape and spit, could create a tool to get him out of any jam. Like they just solve incredible problems day in and day out, but not just for themselves. This is the key, folks. Leaders solve problems for other people too. You'll never hear a leader say, well, that's not my job. Everything is their job.
Right.
Next is attitude, right? Like, do I have an attitude that is bringing goodness and gratitude to other people? Because people are human beings before they're human doings. And you, serving people.
You said it. Look for opportunities to serve others. And that's something I've always felt strongly about.
Exactly. And that's where so much opportunity is held right there in really serving other people. Having a vision for what you want to accomplish, how you get there, that's going to change. Just like the sailor when they go out in their boat, the wind's going to change, conditions change. How you get there may change, but where you're headed to shouldn't.
Yeah.
A self-discipline and that consistency and, of course, personal growth. Really understanding what are the areas that I personally need to grow in to unearth my own potential, to lead myself well and others.
Fantastic. All right, listen, one more time. Would you give us the website for people that want to talk to you perhaps about a seminar or some training?
Oh, sure. Of course, I'd love that. Go to strengthleader.com, strengthleader.com, and you've got lots of info in there, and there's a contact page. We'd be happy. In fact, I'm giving away an ebook on communication. So if communication is something that you think is for you or your organization is of an area of, let's say, development, we'll put it kindly, okay? You go ahead and download the Comprehensive Power of Communication ebook. It's given away on the bottom on my first page there.
Fantastic. Okay, Deb, we're out of time, but I could talk to you all day. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm sorry we had all those cancellations too, but we finally made it. And you've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. My thanks to Deb and Gino, who is fantastic, gave us a lot on leadership we haven't heard before. If you want to be on Radio Jobline, just write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Happy to have you or your idea on the show, and connect with me on LinkedIn so you see all the Radio Job Lines. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hunting.
May the four winds blow you safely.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.